just tuned to yesterday, delivering programs from radio's golden years. Welcome, I'm your host, Mark Levonier. Western drama and action in this hour. Later on, we hear a poker-related story on the Frontier Gentleman. But right now, it's Death Valley Days, with the last known remaining episode from the series that has survived the test of time. From June 16, 1939, on NBC, John McBride stars as the Old Ranger in the story Shoe Fly.
As the old morning bugle call of the covered wagon trains dies away among the echoes, another true story of Death Valley Days is brought to you by the Pacific Coast Borax Company, who give you also the miracle of borax in three convenient forms. 20 Mule Team Borax for household use, 20 Mule Team Borax soap chips in the big blue and yellow sunshine box for washing clothes and dishes, and Boraxo for toilet use. Our mail these days has plenty to say about Boraxo. I was delighted to see your Boraxo dispensers at the San Francisco World's Fair. I'm so glad to find Boraxo is regular equipment at Standard Oil service stations. I was visiting friends at their ranch and found they ordered Boraxo in case lots and had cans in the washhouse for their cowhands who were just crazy about it. My little girl goes to a private play school for children of preschool age, and she says the teacher makes them all wash up with Boraxo. My husband is a mechanic. He taught me to use it. It certainly can take the dirt off and still leave the hands soft and smooth. I work in the hosiery department of one of Los Angeles's leading department stores. Our buyer has taught us girls to use Boraxo so our hands will be smooth enough not to snag the stockings when we run our hands into them to show customers. There are many thousands of enthusiastic Boraxo users like these. They come from all walks of life, all occupations. And they all say the same thing about Boraxo. It does take the dirt off, even ground-in dirt. Even a young child can use it freely for knees and ankles and elbows, as well as hands. Boraxo comes in a sanitary pour-top can. The contents stay clean and dry. It can be used very economically. It won't clog drain pipes or leave a sandy film on basin or tub because it dissolves completely in water. Boraxo is a scientific blend of fine toilet soap and the famous 20 Mule Team Borax. There is no other product like it. If you're letting your stock get low, may we remind you that tomorrow is marketing day for the weekend. Order two or three cans and put them in bathrooms and kitchen. And now for the Old Ranger and his evening's yarn, which has the extraordinary title of Shoefly.
Well, the title's no more extraordinary than the woman herself.
Shoefly was a woman?
Yes, woman prospector.
Well.
I've come across plenty of women prospectors in my time. Some of them I've already told you about. Now, there was Happy Days at Goldfield, remember?
Yeah.
Went on a glorious junket at the age of 80, hopping freights clear across the continent.
Yes,
back.
I remember.
And Silver Susie. It operated a mine at Cerro Gordo for years and years in order to put her children through school and college. And Ma Riggs and Hard Pan Hattie and, I've known a bunch of them in the desert around Death Valley. But none of them quite like the woman I'm going to tell you about tonight. I can remember perfectly the first time I ever met her. Me and Eddie Grannon had come to Independence to file a claim we just located up in the Panamints. As we walked into the county recorder's office, we found him busy with another customer, a smallish woman with sharp eyes and wispy gray hair, dressed. It's funny how you remember such things. She dressed in a gray and white calico dress and a black straw hat.
To corner monument number 4, thence northwest 300 feet to place of beginning, including all dips, spurs, angles, and variations. Mm-hmm. This looks all right.
Of course, all right.
The name of the mining claim above described is and shall be known as I'm sorry, I can't quite make this out. It looks like Shoefly.
Yeah, 'tis Shoefly. Because it expresses my sentiments.
You mean,
Shoefly, don't bother me.
Oh, I see. Notice to claim jumpers, eh?
Exactly.
Well, let's hope they take the hint.
They'd better.
Located this 21st day of May, 1906. This your signature here?
Yeah.
There's no other?
I got only one name.
No, I mean there's no other locator?
No.
Well.
Law don't call for more than one, does it?
Oh, no. No, of course not.
Then why'd you act so surprised?
Well, you see, you're being a woman, I thought. Well,
plenty of women locate claims.
Well, they generally have partners, though.
Men partners.
Yep.
More fools, eh?
Maybe.
Yeah. What do I owe you?
Recorder's fee is $1.
All right. Here you are.
Now, you understand about assessment work. State law calls for $100 worth each year to be...
I know all about that.
All right. Just wanted to make sure. Folks have been known to lose legal right to a claim because they didn't do the necessary development work or...
Don't worry. I won't be losing my rights to this claim.
I hope not.
And now, give me my change, will you? I'm in a hurry.
Well, let's see. You handed me a $5.
Yeah.
Then here's 1, 2, 3, 4 you get back.
Haven't you got any real money?
Well, that's...
No, I don't like that Los Angeles paper. I want silver.
All right, ma'am, whatever you say. Here you are. 1, 2, 3, 4
Yeah. That's better.
Surprised she didn't bite him to make sure they was bona fide.
Maybe she ain't got any teeth.
What's that?
Nothing, nothing, ma'am. I was just talking to my partner here.
Oh.
Oh, hello, Eddie. Hello, yeah. Ranger. Didn't recognize you.
Hello, Jim.
Howdy.
I'll be with you boys in a minute. All right. Just as soon as this lady is through.
I'm through now. Good day.
Good day, madam. And good luck to the shoe fly.
Shoe fly, don't bother me. Shoe fly, don't bother me. Shoe fly, don't bother me. I belong to Company G.
Gosh, what a charter.
Hey, who is she, Jim?
I don't know. I never saw her before today.
If you never see her again, it'll be too soon, huh?
Well, I know two desert rats I am glad to see. Where you fellas been all this time?
Oh, scratching around.
Did you find anything?
Would we be here if we hadn't?
Hey, you sound like old Shoefly.
Hey, now, you look here.
What have you located this time, boys? The lost gun sight?
Maybe.
It's silver, anyhow.
And in the Panamints.
Here's a copy of your location notice.
Well, let's see it. Uh-huh. Notice hereby given to the undersigned of located 1,500 feet by 600 feet, vein situated between Tuber Canyon and Wild Rose Canyon in the Panamint Mining District. Well, that's a funny thing.
What is?
Why, that's the same locality as where she just located her claim.
Who?
That woman who was just in here.
You mean that...
Oh, old Shoefly?
Yes, sir.
Well, I'll be darned.
Are you sure?
Well, here's the location notice she filed.
Let me see.
See?
Situated south of Wild Rose Canyon.
And north of Tuber Canyon.
Now, that can't be any place but between the two.
No.
You're right.
Neighbors, eh? Well, that'll make it nice.
I don't think.
Well, we run out of butter and eggs where we can borrow from her. If we get lonesome evenings, why,
we... Remember the lady's sentiments, boys. Shoe fly, don't bother me.
Shoe fly, don't bother me. Shoe fly, don't bother me. I belong to Company G. Shoe fly, don't bother me. Shoe fly, don't bother me. Shoe fly, don't bother me. I belong to Company G.
Well, the hot weather set in about then, and Eddie and me quit the desert for several months. The time we was ready to go back and start work on our claim, we'd forgot all about our shoe fly neighbor till we was part way up the canyon.
Hello.
What's the matter?
Look at that.
Huh? Where?
That sign.
Private property. Keep off. No trespassing. Penal code provision. Well, can you beat that?
That ain't all neither. Look.
A chain across the trail.
Yeah. Just in case you can't read.
Well, who in tarnation did that?
Whoever it is, they ain't got no right to put a barrier up across this canyon. How do they think we're going to get up there to our property?
No trespassing. Penal code provisions under section 587 to 625. Is that a threat, do you reckon?
It'll take more than that to scare me. Get up, Jerry.
Wait a minute, Eddie. What are you going to do?
Right under it.
Well, it's pretty low now. I don't think you can negotiate, not unless you unpack.
Well, then we'll take it down.
Is it padlocked?
No.
Good.
Well, I'll unfasten it, and you can drive the burros through.
You'll do nothing of the kind. Huh? I'm the owner here. Nobody goes through without my say-so.
Why, it's her.
The shoe fly woman.
Oh, you know me, huh?
Well, yes, of course.
We was in the county recorder's office the same time you was, last June.
And he blabbed to you, did he?
No, certainly not.
Well, we couldn't help overhearing the name of your claim, though.
And its location and a few other important things.
Well, we did.
And now you come snooping around to see what I got.
Oh, not at all, ma'am.
You won't have a chance to see nothing, because I'm letting nobody pass this chain.
Yeah, but, madam,
and if you try to force your way past, you'll get this.
Hey, wait a minute.
A gun.
Yeah, slow to do, and I'm a good shot.
Now, listen, ma'am.
You heard what I said.
We're good.
Go on, Vamoose.
Well, let me explain.
No back talk now.
We ain't trespassers.
No.
No. Didn't look like it taking down that chain.
We got a claim further up the canyon. Now, if you don't believe it, we'll show you the records.
Yeah, we're on our way up there now.
Not by this trail, you ain't.
Yeah, but we...
And that's final.
Well, this is the only direct trail, ma'am.
Yeah, to get up there from the other side, we'd have to go away to heck and back.
Yeah, that's your funeral.
Well, now, surely you wouldn't put us to all that time and trouble, ma'am, when...
You see that chain, don't you?
Well, yes, but...
And you see that sign?
Sure.
And you see this gun? I don't know how I can make it any plainer to you. Unless I...
Hey, be careful.
Hey, what do you mean, shooting at us like that?
That's your starting signal.
You...
And you turn your outfit around and start down this trail, do you hear? And if you ain't on your way by the time I count 10, I'll shoot again. And this time I'll take good aim.
Roger.
1, 2...
Why, you...
3...
Come on, Eddie, come on. There's no use arguing with
it. They all see
me.
Turn around, Kate.
6,
turn around. Down we
7,
go.
7...
Well, sir, that was the beginning of our troubles with our neighbor Shoofly. Not only did we have to take a long, roundabout, difficult trail back and forth to our property, but whenever she got so much as a glimpse of us, she'd come a-stalking around with that gun of hers, taking occasional pot shots at us just to kind of remind us that she was still there. After a couple of months of this, we finally went to the sheriff and complained.
It ain't just us, Sheriff. She's got all the prospectors in that region terrorized. you can laugh if you want to, but...
So one poor old woman's got you all you tough desert rats terrorized. Well, I'm surprised at you.
Maybe terrorized is putting it a little bit too strong.
Yeah, she's giving us all the willies anyway.
Well, that's a fact, Sheriff. To say nothing of the inconvenience she's caused us.
Yeah, she's got an idea we're trying to jump her claim.
Whereas she's really the one who's claiming something that don't belong to her.
What do you mean?
Why, her property don't take in that canyon trail.
Well, the boundary runs about 25 feet to the east of it.
Are you sure?
Absolutely.
We've seen the location notice over at the recorder's office.
Well, have you explained this to her?
Explained? Heck, we can't get within shouting distance of her without having her take a shot at us.
Crazy, most likely.
She ain't crazy. She's just an ornery.
In any case, ain't no use arguing with
her. Well, I'll go up and talk turkey to her.
Good.
Well, you best take a posse with you, Sheriff.
I reckon I can tackle her single-handed.
Hey, you don't know Shoofly.
Tell me, is she there most of the time?
All the time.
Every minute of the day and night.
She never leaves the place.
Yeah. Who's working the ground for her?
I don't know. We never got close enough to see.
Yeah, it's my guess she's doing the work herself.
What makes you think so?
Well, because I don't know who she'd ever find who'd be willing to work for her. Hey, old porcupine.
Well, now, Sheriff, if she is doing it herself, she ain't getting very far. Her eyes are never off that trail for long.
Well, you leave her to me. I'll go up there and talk to her.
If she don't shoot you first.
By George, she has got you terrorized. Now, let's see. You say this property of hers is between Wild Rose and Tuber Canyon.
And so, a few days later, the sheriff started out from Independence, eastward across the Argus Range, and up into the Panamints. He found Shoofly looking for all the world like somebody's nice old grandmother
sitting in a rocking chair knitting in front of her cabin. In her lap, though, under the knitting, lay a gun which she reached for as he rode up.
Howdy.
You can't get up the canyon this way, stranger. This is private property.
The shoe fly, if I'm not mistaken.
Right.
You're the owner?
I am.
Then you're the person I come to see.
Shoe fly ain't for sale, mister. I'm hanging on to it, so you can turn right around and go back where you come from.
I'm not interested in buying your mine.
Then what do you want?
I happen to be the sheriff of Inyo County.
Oh, well, you can't scare me.
No. No, I understand you're not exactly the timid type. Been hearing complaints about you lately from some of our citizens. Seems you're not behaving in a very friendly fashion towards
them. Got to protect my property against claim jumpers.
Nobody's trying to jump your claim, ma'am.
They would if I give them half a chance. They think just because I'm a woman and an old woman, they can walk right onto my ground.
If you're talking about the trail up the canyon, that don't belong to you.
You see that sign, don't you?
Yeah, sure. But that still don't make it yours. Your claim don't come within 25 feet of that trail.
Why, listen, I located it.
I know exactly what you located. Got the papers right here in my pocket.
Oh.
Now, you've got to take that chain down from across the trail and let folks by.
I'll do nothing of the
kind. That's a public right-of-way, and you can't block
it.
Either you take that chain down, or I'll take you along with me back to Independence.
Why, you can't do that.
Oh, yes, I can. I'm the sheriff of this here county, and I can arrest you and lock you up for 30 days or 60 days or whatever length of time the judge decides would be good for you.
You're in league with them claim jumpers, I know. They want to get me away from here so they can take possession of the shoe fly.
Now you're talking nonsense. Come on, let's see you take that chain down.
I
don't like to arrest ladies, but if I have to...
All right, I'll take it down.
Good.
Sign's going to stay where it is, though.
I have no objection to that. Well, go ahead.
Chain padlocked. I don't know if I can find the key.
I'll wait till you do.
I think maybe Ah Sing's got it.
Who's Ah Sing?
Man that works for me.
Oh, Chinaman, huh?
Yeah.
Where is he?
He went down this morning with a load of ore. He won't be back till tomorrow sometime.
Oh? Well, then I might as well make myself comfortable.
You gonna wait?
Yep. Not gonna budge till I see that chain down.
He might have left the key in the cabin.
Or it just might even be in your own pocket.
Eh?
Well, no harm in looking anyway.
Yeah,
I thought so. Well, let me have it.
I'll do the unlocking myself.
Yeah, just as you say. Only be quick about it. I've got to get back to Independence today.
There. Now, you satisfied?
I will be if you keep it down. But just let me hear that you put that chain or any other kind of barrier up again, and I'll be paying you another call with a pair of handcuffs.
You can't scare me. You nor nobody else.
All right, Pino. Come on, boy. Let's get going.
There's nothing that walks on two legs can scare me, even if it does wear a badge.
Come on, Pino. Up this way. That's the boy. Easy now. We'll pay a call on the boys before we go back and tell them everything's fixed up fine. Trail's open. Grandma's busy with her knitting. Hey, ho, boy. Ho. Who fired that shot?
I did.
Why, you old...
I seen a quail up yonder. I thought I'd bring it down for supper.
Oh, you did, eh? Quail for supper. Man for breakfast, she means. I got a good mind to go back and... Oh, what's the use? Come on, Pino. Come on, boy. Come on. Easy now.
When the sheriff told us he'd put the fear of the law into old Shoefly, we had our doubts. And we soon found our doubts were justified. She didn't put the chain up again across the trail, but...
It might just as well be there, Sheriff, for all we can get by.
Why, she sits there in that rocking chair of hers and pops away at us with her gun if we so much as come within hailing distance.
Oh, she don't ever hit you, though.
'Cause we duck.
Oh... She wouldn't hit you anyway. It's just a gesture, this shooting. Why, she done the same thing to me the time I was up there.
Oh, he didn't tell us about that.
Well, wasn't worth mentioning. Mm,
shot at you, did she?
Well, she said she was aiming at a quail.
And you let her get away with it? You're a fine sheriff. Why didn't you arrest her and throw her in jail?
Well,
yeah, because she's got him buffaloed like all the rest of us.
No such thing.
Then go and arrest her now.
I would if I...
Oh, I know there'd be an if.
Now listen, fellas, I'll admit this shoe fly woman's an annoyance.
Annoyance? She's a menace.
Now, Eddie, come.
Well, she really is a public nuisance, Sheriff. Well, we can't work our claim like it ought to be worked with her around.
Yeah, she's driving everybody away from there.
Well, I'd like to do something about it. And I will when I get the time to go over there again. But you see, right now, I got some important business to attend to that just can't be put off.
In the opposite direction, I suppose.
Up in Montana.
Huh?
Montana?
Mm-hmm. Just got word this morning they caught the leader of the Bruce gang. You know, the fellas who robbed the First National.
Sure.
And they're holding him in Butte.
Well, when are you leaving?
Right away.
And that means you'll be away a couple of weeks.
Most likely.
Gosh.
When I get back, though, I'll do something about your friend Shoefly. I promise you. I'll go up there and tell her where to head in. And if she hands me any back talk, I'll take that.
But by the time the sheriff returned from Montana, there was no getting up into Wild Rose Canyon or getting down from there either. The first storm of the winter had set in, and a bad one it was, too. For almost a week it snowed, and the wind blowed a gale. All we could do, Eddie and me, was to plug up the chinks in our cabin and thank our lucky stars we'd laid in a good supply of wood to keep us from freezing to death. Even after the storm had cleared, the drifts were so deep that it was just about impossible to break any kind of a trail. So you can imagine our surprise one day as we were sitting playing checkers on an improvised checkerboard with the pieces of ore for men.
Yes, your move.
Well, now, let me study this situation for a minute. Now, wait a minute. Now, if I move this feller, he'll jump me.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Now, on the other hand, if I leave him where he is, well, he'll take...
It is somebody knocking.
Yes, it is.
Let me hear.
My gosh, it sounds like... It is.
Shoe fly.
Yes.
Thank the Lord you're here. That's great. Maybe you're gone, cleared out for the storm.
No, we've been here right along.
Come in. Here, let me give you a hand.
If you hadn't have been here, I don't know what I'd have done. I couldn't have went back to him. No, I couldn't.
Pull that chair up for her, Eddie, by the stove there.
All right.
That's it. She's half frozen.
It ain't the cold that's making me shiver. It's...
Yeah, how about some whiskey?
No.
Yeah, you'd better.
No.
It'll do you good, ma'am. That'll warm you up.
Yeah, put new life into you.
Didn't do him no good. He just turned bluer and bluer.
Who?
Ah Sing.
Who?
Ah Sing. Chinaman is working for me. Did you ever see a Chinaman turn blue, mister? Well, it ain't blue exactly. It's green. Yellow and blue, that makes green, don't it?
Well, what are you talking about?
Ah Sing.
Well, is he sick?
Dead.
What?
Dead?
Yep.
When?
Where?
Oh, 4 or 5 days ago. Last Tuesday, I think it was.
Over at your place?
Yep.
Gosh.
Yeah. What was the matter with him?
I don't know. He took bad all of a sudden, pains. I brought him into the shack and done everything I could for him, but he just got bluer and bluer. Then he had a convulsion and he died.
Good Lord.
Where is he now?
Right where he died, of course. Where do you think? Right where he's been for the past 5 days and 5 nights, laying on the bunk, just a-staring and a-staring.
Well, now, you'd best have some whiskey, ma'am.
No.
Why, after what you've been through, why?
You stayed right there with him all this time?
Nothing else I could do. I couldn't get out with the blizzard raging, and I couldn't put him out.
No.
I didn't have the nerve.
5 days and 5 nights, snowed in with a corpse. Gosh.
It was awful, the nights especially. Storm howling outside, him laid out there. So, I never knowed before what it is to be afraid. I've always said there was nothing in God's world could scare me. But when it ain't in this world, when it's something dead, stiff and staring.
You take it easy now, ma'am.
Yeah. I try not to think about it.
Well, as soon as the storm cleared, I got out. I knowed I couldn't make it all the way to Darwin, but I figured I might be able to make it up here to your place.
I don't know how you ever did it with no trail, Brooke.
You let me stay here, won't you?
Why, of course.
Sure.
You just make yourself comfortable here for the night. In the morning, we'll all go back up to your place.
Not me.
All right, then. You can stay here, and Eddie and me will go over and tend to things.
I'm never going back there.
What?
I'll never set foot on that ground again.
You mean that you...
I'm quitting.
You're going to sell out?
Sell out or just clear out. I'm all through with the shoe fly. Yep, and I'm all through with the Panamints in the desert.
Hey, man.
Oh, well, now. You may feel different later on.
I'm not waiting to find out. I'm going back to Idaho, where I come from, just as fast as I can get there.
Well, I'll be. Say, hand me that there bottle, will you, Ranger?
Yes, sir.
A lady may not want a drink, but I do.
Yeah. Did our sing, did he have a wife and children, ma'am?
No family at all.
Well, for a Chinaman, that's a calamity. He'll leave no descendants.
Yep.
Well, I hereby appoint myself his descendant, by adoption, to bury him proper, protect his effects, and set off firecrackers in his honor at least once a year. To our sing... My neighbor and revered ancestor.
Program you've just heard is another true story of Death Valley Days. Presented for your enjoyment every Friday evening at this hour by the Pacific Coast Borax Company. Next week, the Old Ranger plans to tell you about the telephone operator who had her finger on the pulse of Goldfield for 33 years. The artists featured in tonight's Death Valley Days program were Irene Hubbard, the Old Ranger, John McBride, Milton C. Herman, Frank Butler, and Jeffrey Bryant. This is George Hicks speaking.
This is the National Broadcasting Company.
KFI Los Angeles.
Death Valley Days on Tuned 2 yesterday from June 16th, 1939 on NBC. You're listening to an hour of old-time radio westerns on Tuned 2 yesterday. I'm your host, Mark LeVillier. And now the Frontier Gentleman. In a March 30th, 1958 broadcast on CBS, foreshadowing roles that actors Virginia Gregg and Ben Wright would play on a preceding CBS Western starring the same leading man, John Daner. They play two Chinese citizens in this next broadcast, and in Have Gun Will Travel, they were Chinese employees at the Carlton Hotel in San Francisco. This next episode, which features the trio of actors, is called Gentle Virtue.
At Deer Lodge in Montana Territory, I met a very unusual young lady. Her Chinese name was Chen Shuk Yi, which in English means gentle virtue. This is her story. Frontier Gentlemen. Englishman's account of life and death in the West. As a reporter for the London Times, he writes his colorful and unusual stories. But as a man with a gun, he lives and becomes a part of the violent years in the new territories. Now, starring John Daner, this is the story of J.B. Kendall, Frontier Gentleman. Montana Territory, there is a mining town which has been known variously as Cottonwood, Spanish Forks, and LaBarge. Now it is simply called Deer Lodge. I had stopped there on my way back to Fort Benton, and it was in Deer Lodge that I was for the first time introduced to the card game of poker. It all began innocently enough after I struck up a friendship with Billy Moore, a prospector whose claim lay a few miles from town.
You might call me kind of a cross between a river sniper and a desert rat. River sniper's what I am here, gold panning like this. Of course, my diggings is back there on the hill. But I ain't hit nothing much yet. Stream's not bad, though. Keeps me going.
It's a lonely job, I imagine.
Sometimes.
You ever think of settling down? Getting married?
Sure. Sure, when I strike it big, I may do that. Meantime, there's Deer Lodge close by. Don't get time to be lonesome there.
I haven't noticed you're much of a drinking man.
Oh, I ain't. But there's always a card game. Faro, three-card monte, poker. Poker's my game. Nothing I like more than a night or two of poker.
Do you win?
Not much. Stay about even, mostly. How about you?
Never played a game in my life.
You never played poker?
No.
Well, boy, we sure got to do something about that.
You think it's absolutely necessary?
Mr. Kendall, how are you going to write about how people live in these parts if you ain't never played poker?
Oh, well, I never quite thought of it in that way.
Well, it's a fact. I'll tell you what. This afternoon, I'll show you how to play. There's nothing to it. And then tonight, we'll go into town. There's always a real friendly game at Dead Broke Bar.
That evening, we rode back into Deer Lodge. Billy had pronounced me an able student, and that with caution, I might even add a dollar or two to my diminishing funds. I had promised to limit myself to play with $50 and no more. When we arrived at the bar, Billy led me to a table in the back room. Two men were there. One, a meek-looking fellow whose expression was one of constant, hurt surprise. The other was a lanky, dark-faced chap. Billy introduced us.
This here is J.B. Kendall, boys. Turkey Johnson and Neil Deggers.
How do you do, gentlemen?
Kendall's a newspaper fella from England, writes for the London Times, out here looking this over. Give us some chips, Turkey.
How's it going, Billy? Any pay dirt?
Oh, about the same. I ain't complaining. What about you?
I'm going to give it another week, then I'm pulling up stakes.
You, Turkey?
Look, you want to play or talk?
Turkey ain't in the mining business right now, Kendall.
Oh, I see.
Trying to get a stake play in poker. The trouble is he keeps on losing. You feel lucky tonight, Turkey?
And one of these days you're going to get lead poison if you don't shut your mouth.
Nice friendly cuss, ain't it? Them blue chips is worth $5, Kendall. The reds, two, and the whites, one.
My card deals. King, Jack, eight, four. Your deal, Kendall.
Hmm? Oh, yes.
Dole the cards, boy.
Five?
Five.
Oh, now, wait a minute.
Something the matter?
In these parts, we cut the cards, mister.
He's kind of... He don't mean no harm. I'll cut him. Dole him around, kid.
Never did cut the plan with a greenhorn.
Sorry.
Oh, just deal, mister.
Open. Dollar.
Call.
Raise the dollar.
No. Thank you.
Not for me, neither.
I got a feeling you're telling a windy, Turkey. I'll see you. Give me three cards, Kendall.
I'll take two.
Billy won the first hand and the second. I played very carefully, and at the end of an hour was about $5 to the good. I could see that Turkey Johnson resented both me and my playing, even more so because he was losing. His temper slowly deteriorated with the quality of his cards. Then the door opened, and a small, pigtailed Chinese gentleman walked in. He had an ageless face, impassive.
Hey, you!
Oh, it looks shiny.
I didn't think you'd be coming tonight. Light and rest your saddle. This is J.B. Kendall, you. He's from England.
Mr. Kendall, I am honored.
Is it Mr. You?
Yes.
How do you do, sir?
Good evening, Mr. Deggers. Mr. Evening. Johnson.
Come on. Come on, Moore, it's your deal.
I know it.
Well, deal.
Chips, please, Mr. Johnson. $50.
You keeps a string of burros, sells them or rents them. Ornery as critters you ever see.
Oh, very intelligent. Very noble animals.
Oh, is that pretty girl of yours, you? Ain't seen her around.
He keeps her hid from the likes of us, huh, you? You ought to see her, Kendall. Real nice little filly.
Is your daughter, Mr. Yu? Oh, no, daughter, no. She's a girl from Hong Kong. She helps me with business.
Talk. It's your play, Kendall.
I'll open for a dollar.
Mr. Yu proved to be an astute but unlucky player, and Johnson began to win. For the next 2 hours, the game seesawed back and forth. And after that, it became obvious that unless there was a startling change, the big winner would be Johnson. The loser, Mr. Yu. Billy, Neil Deckers, and myself were about even. Then an extraordinary thing happened. I found myself at the end of a draw, sitting with three aces and two queens. The betting was up to Neil Deckers. At that time, there was $50 on the table.
Two. No, I'm folding.
Two, and I raise three.
Yeah. Hey, this is a big one, huh? All right, boys. I'm calling and raising five of my own.
You take it easy, Kendall.
Shut your mouth, Moore. Ain't no side plan in this game.
Now, don't get riled, Turkey.
Just keep your mouth shut.
I'm sorry, gentlemen. Just give me a moment. Very well. I'll call. $10.
Kendall, you know it's going to be a pleasure to make you holler calf rope. Ain't going to be no beginner's luck in this game.
Your play, Mr. Yu.
And 25.
Sure am glad I'm out of this one. You're 25 and up 25.
Kendall, you better get out.
Son of a gun, I'm saying for the last time, Moore, you shut your mouth.
Now listen, Turkey, he's a friend of mine.
Mr. Johnson, he's quite right, Billy. I'd like to buy some more chips, please. 100.
Well, what's your play, mister?
It cost you 50. You better not...
50.
Man, you ain't gonna have enough left to dust your fiddle.
50 and raise 50.
What? There's near 300 in there.
Yeah, so there is.
I got the deadwood on you boys, but you keep her getting fat, I ain't grumbling. You're 50, you and my 50. Another 100, Kendall.
Yes. I see. All right. I call.
Mr. Turkey, there is $500. I am now without money. Still, I wish to call you back.
Oh, that's too bad. Maybe you can get a loan, huh?
I no take a loan.
Well, what do you say, you? You in or out? Oh, how about them burros? You want to stake them, huh?
No, not burros. But maybe chain shook ye?
Hey, now ain't that something? You kidding?
The girl should be worth another 100.
I seen her, Turkey. She's a looker. If you lose, can you guarantee I get her?
I guarantee.
Well, how can you do that, Mr. Yu?
She belongs me. I paid her half a cent from China. You wait, please. I put cards down. Nobody touch.
What you got, Turkey?
Head's gonna make all you happy as a duck in Arizona.
What's the matter, Kendall?
Is game too rich for you, huh?
No, not at all. I find it very interesting.
Well, boys... my luck has turned. Yeah, I'm going to get me a grub stake with the winnings and have me a real nice score to take care of grub slinging and like.
Say, how about me and you going partners?
Yeah, might do that, Diggins. Yeah, might at that.
At that moment, the door opened, and Mr. Yu came in, followed by the girl, Chen Shuk Yi. She must have been in her early 20s. She was quite beautiful. She didn't look at any of us, but moved behind Mr. Yu's chair, staring black-eyed, expressionless.
You tell her what happens if you lose?
She has been told.
You betting her?
Yes, I call you bet with Shuk Yi.
All right. What do you got?
Flush. Hot.
Oh, had you figured. Too bad. Yeah, kings and tenors full.
Just a moment. Mr. Johnson.
aces and ladies full. Son of a gun.
You have won, Mr. Kendall. The money and the girl are yours. Most honored to meet you, Mr. Kendall. Shuki's belongings are at my house. Do you wish her to bring them now?
Well,
I understand it is a matter of delicacy. You live at the hotel, Mr. Kendall?
No, I'm staying with Billy Moore.
Her belongings will be brought tomorrow. Most happy gentlemen. Good night.
I'll cash these in if you don't mind, Mr. Johnson. $565.
That was pretty smart, Moore. Pulling in a grifter to clean us out.
Oh, now, just a minute, Turkey.
Are you suggesting by any chance that I'm a cheat, Mr. Johnson?
Well, I'm saying there was more than luck in your deal.
You're saying I cheated?
Here's your money. Come on, Deggers.
Never thought I'd see it. Turkey Johnson backing down. You sure got his number, Kendall. Say, what about her?
I've been wondering. Shuki?
Yes, Master?
No, not Master. I'm Kendall.
Kendall?
I think you'd better go back to Mr. Yu's house now.
Oh, no. Me belong Kendall now. Mr. Yu, not take Shuki back. I not go back.
It ain't gonna do no good, Kendall. He wouldn't have her back. Old Yu's got a lot of pride. He lost her fair and square. She's yours.
But I can't. What the devil am I going to do with her?
Well, now.
A good cook. Men clothes. Very good.
You're good enough for me, girl.
Billy, we'll have to put her up in your shack until I can think of what to do with her.
Well, that's fine with me, Kendall. That's just fine.
You and I will sleep outside.
Now, hold on, boy. I don't mind giving up my bunk. I can sleep on the floor, but there ain't no sense in freezing to death, maybe getting the rheumatics or the heaves.
Well, perhaps you could stay at the hotel. I'd get her a room.
There ain't room for a skinny tick in there this time of night.
All right, then it's got to be your place. Come on.
Nice night, ain't it, Kendall?
Yes.
Stars sure do look pretty.
You comfortable, Shuki?
Very comfortable. Very nice. Thank you, Kendall.
How long have you been over here?
4 years.
What made you come?
I was a slave girl. Mr. Yu sent to buy me. I come.
Oh.
I like you better. I'd be good slave to you.
No. A slave is not a good thing, Shuki. No one should be slave. In this country, no slaves. You understand?
No. If I no slave, what I do?
Well, what did you do in China?
Slave. Very rich gentleman. Lots of slaves. But he get dry gulch by other rich gentlemen. Then I his slave. Then second rich gentleman sell me to Mr. Yu. He sell many slaves come to America. Now I you slave.
No, I don't want a slave.
Then why you buy me?
I didn't. I won you in the poker game.
If you lost, you would have paid money?
Yes.
Then you see, you slave. I am glad I not be won by that no good son of gun, Turkey Johnson.
She sure got him pegged.
You shouldn't say that, Shuki. Bad words.
I hear many people say so. I no like the way he look at me, son of gun.
Oh. Here, Shuki, I'll help you.
I'll get the horses fed and watered. You want to show her where to sleep?
All right.
This your house?
No, it's Billy's.
Oh, he very rich man. Mr. Yu not have wood floor.
You'll sleep here on this bunk, Shuki.
Where you sleep?
Outside, with Billy.
I sleep on floor. You sleep on bunk.
No. I'm going out to help Billy now. You go to bed.
If the master wills it.
I will it. Good night. Billy?
Yeah? She bedded down.
It's on the way. Look.
This is nothing to laugh at, Billy. What am I going to do with her?
She's your slave. You figure it out.
I mean it. I can't go traveling about with her.
I wouldn't mind it.
Billy, it's serious. You think if I have a talk with Mr. Yule...
I told you, it's no good.
You boys stand right there. Don't turn around or I'll blow your innards out.
Turkey Johnson.
I take the guns off of him.
Sure, Turkey, sure.
All right. Now you got my money, Kendall. You throw it behind you real easy-like. All right, pick it up, Deggers. Now you go and fetch your gal out.
Sure, Deggers.
I'd advise you to keep your hands off her, Johnson.
I'll get going, Deggers. You ain't advising nothing, Kendall.
I'm going to get you, Turkey. You stretch him for this.
Why, you got me scared plumb to death.
Hey, Turkey! Get here!
What do you mean, she's,
must have heard
this
and
going
out through the window.
Well, find her.
What? Dark.
All right. Forget the gal. Let's tail out of here. So long, boys. Thanks for the grub steak.
I'm going to get the horse.
Wait a minute. No, there's no sense without a gun.
Should have known. That low down.
Chuck Yee.
No.
Chuck Yee. It's Kendall. They've gone. Where are you?
Master.
You got another gun, Billy?
Yeah, in the shack. A rifle and a coat.
I heard voice of son of gun, Turkey Johnson. I go out window.
Yes, very sensible. You stay here with Shook Yee, Billy. I'm going after them.
Well, I'll come too.
No, you better stay in case they double back. Lock yourselves in.
Sure I will, Kendall, sure. Don't you worry about a thing.
I left Billy the rifle, took the coat, and rode after Johnson and Deggers. I hoped they'd make for Deer Lodge, which is exactly what they did do. I found them in the least likely, but I suppose most likely place for a man like Johnson, the Dead Broke Bar. They were celebrating, standing drinks to everybody in the place.
Turkey. Oh, don't bother me, boy.
Yeah, but... Turn around, Mr. Johnson.
Well, if it ain't Lord Kendall. What do you say, Your Honor? All right, come on, have a drink.
Not with my own money, thanks. Hand it over like a good fellow.
Are you loco, mister? Your money? Well, I cleaned you out. Ain't that right, Deggers?
Sure. Dead right, Turkey.
An unfortunate choice of words. I say you're dead wrong. But either way, unless you give it back, you'll most certainly be dead.
I'm getting out of here.
Here, me too.
You want to draw first?
No shooting in the bar, boys. You take it outside.
Well, you want to...
draw first? I have.
I was only kidding.
I'm not. Throw your gun belt on the bar. You too, Deggers. Now, Johnson, I have taken a great dislike to your face. Hold this for me, will you, barkeep? Billy, it's me, Kendall. Here's your guns.
Oh.
Hello, Shook Yee.
Hello.
Well, what's the matter?
Kendall, I hope you don't take this wrong, but I'd kind of like to buy Shook Yee from you.
What?
You see, me and her, we had a little talk while you was gone, and she takes to me, sort of, and I thought maybe if I married her...
He's a strange man, Kendall. You sell me to him. He wants to marry.
Well, do you want to marry him?
I like.
the next morning, I was best man at their wedding, and Mr. Yu gave Shuk Yi away. After the breakfast, which took place at the Dead Broke Bar, I started off for Fort Benton, where I planned to take the river steamer down the Missouri and write my reports of another part of the West. Frontier Gentlemen was written, produced, and directed by Anthony Ellis and stars John Daner as J.B. Kendall. Featured in the cast were Virginia Gregg, Vic Perrin, Jack Crucian, Ben Wright, and Charlie Lung. Music was composed and conducted by Wilbur Hatch.
Be sure to be with us again next week at this time for another chapter from the journal of J.B. Kendall, Frontier Gentleman. Frontier Gentleman has come to you through the worldwide facilities of the United States Armed Forces Radio and Television Service.
The Frontier Gentleman on Tuned to Yesterday from March 30th, 1958 on CBS. And that wraps up this hour of Radio Westerns on Tuned to Yesterday. Be sure to be with us next time for more great programs from radio's golden age. Until our next hour together, I'm Mark Levionier. It's been a pleasure.